Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome back with me Asmawati Rahman. We will accompany you for the next 60 minutes. In today's edition, we will present some segment to you, beginning from news, commentary, and other interesting information, as well as Indonesian songs. Well, listener, we begin with the news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.vinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Indonesian Muslim figures help promote Middle Islam in the Netherlands. Energy and Mineral Resource Minister Jonan to conduct review at Bengkulu's coal-fired power plant. Now the news in detail. Indonesian Muslim figures spoke at the second international conference on moderate Islam, seeking the middle path, or Al-Watahiyah articulation on moderate Islam in Radboud, Nijmegen, Netherlands, to promote moderate Islam along with the hundreds of international Muslim figures. As quoted by JakartaPost.com on Monday, Renata Siaga, spokesperson of Social Cultural Department of Indonesian Embassy in Den Haag, said that the conference was a biannual event organized by Nahdlatul Ulama Special Chapter in the Netherlands with Radboud University. The aim of the conference is to promote the concept of Al-Wasatiyah, which is often translated as a Middle Islam or the Common Ground. Meanwhile, Indonesian Religious Affairs Minister Lukman Hakim Saifuddin, during his keynote speech, said that Middle Way religion was not only hoped for state or community, but a common interest for the whole world. Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources Ignatius Jonan confirmed that PT Tenaga Listrik Bengkulu 200 MW coal-fired power plant in Span Bay, Bengkulu City, Bengkulu will be evaluated if a mismatch is found in the environmental impact analysis. As quoted by Antara News Agency, the minister on Monday said that if the Bengkulu State Administrative Court uncovers a discrepancy in the environmental impact analysis, a review of the project to develop the coal-fired power plant will be conducted. The Span Bay coal-fired power plant project is being built with a loan capital of $270 million from the Industrial and Commercial Bank of China (LTD) and the Export-Import Bank of China. The project under construction is targeted for completion in the first half of 2020. The Raja Ampat District Administration has made a steady efforts to raise the standard and quality of human resources engaged in tourism, especially local tourist guides. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Yusuf Salin, Secretary of District Government on Tuesday, said that the tourist guides were spearheads of the tourism industry in Raja Ampat owing to their one-to-one interaction with domestic and foreign tourists arriving in the district. This is to say, tourist guides are the local employees who personally represent the Raja Ampat District Administration by offering the best possible services to the tourists. He further explained that Raja Ampat would also be imprinted in the minds of tourists worldwide if these tourist guides were to serve them exceptionally. Hence, the district administration has always praised and supported efforts to improve the competency of local tourist guides. A number of bankers have acknowledged that they favor state-owned enterprises when disbursing loans, with the state-owned enterprise accounting for 30% of funding recipients, the maximum quota allowed by the Financial Services Authority, OJK. The lenders claimed that the loans were largely disbursed to finance the government's infrastructure projects across the country. As quoted by JakartaPost.com, state-owned lender PT Bank Tabungan Negara BTN Compliance Director Mahelan Praban Tarikso explained that BTN's loan disbursement to state-owned enterprises have not exceeded the quota, but he called on the OJK to relax the regulation because infrastructure projects need large accounts of money. Meanwhile, state-owned lender PT Bank Mandiri Corporate Director Royke Tumiliar admitted that the lending disbursed of state-owned enterprise was close to the quota stipulated by OJK. He also said the bank was involved in financing a number of government's joint infrastructure projects implemented by several state-owned enterprises. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Head of the National Disaster Mitigation Agency, BNPB, Lieutenant General Doni Munardo has called on regional governments across Indonesia to prepare plans to address the impact of weather anomaly. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Doni Munardo on Monday said that every year several regions in Indonesia face weather anomaly, which is difficult to predict. Since early this year, some 150 areas in the country had borne the brunt of natural disaster, including floods, landslides, droughts, earthquakes, high winds, and strong winds. The regions that are at high risk of facing this natural disaster must put in place contingency plans to prevent and control the impact of this disaster and increase the capacity of institutions, officials, and residents to anticipate them. The concept of identifying the threat of disaster is important so the affected people will not panic, at least to save themselves and help other people. Financial support from regional government is also very important to prevent and control disaster. The Billiton International Geomaritime Festival to be held on June 20 until 30, 2019 on Billiton Island, Bangka Belitung Province is targeting to attract 5 to 6,000 visitors constituting domestic and foreign tourists. As quoted by Antara News Agency, chairperson of the Billiton International Geomaritime Festival, Linda Samosir, on Monday stated that the excellence of this festival is that the show is presented or watched from abroad fishing boats while enjoying sunset views. The event to be held at the pier of Guson Bugis Beach on Belitung Island will feature music, dance, and traditional literacy performances in Belitung. He further remarked that the Belitung International Geomaritime Festival is held to boost tourism in Belitung by bringing as many domestic and foreign tourists as possible. So far, he has drawn attention to the Senit sunset in Belitung in tons of golden, so it's the opportune time to showcase cultural performances or attractions in the Petrodot Peak Intimate Beauty. By holding various festival or attraction and spectacular performance in Belitung, he believes that the area will offer much more tourists to visit. The last item, the Minister of Public Works and Public Housing has readied a budget 50 billion rupiah to construct the Lintas Utara Road section to support development of National Tourism Strategic Area in Labuan Bajo West, Manggarai District, East Nusa Tenggara, NTT Province. As quoted by Antara News Agency, head of the West Manggarai District, Agustinus Dula, on Monday said that the budget originated from the 2019 state budget. He further explained that the budget of 50 billion rupiah is derived from 219 state budget that aims to support tourism in Labuan Bajo area. He also pointed out that the ongoing infrastructure development in Labuan Bajo demonstrates the central government's attention to building a better tourism area in Labuan Bajo. The Lintas Utara Road to be constructed will connect Labuan Bajo with Riau in Manggarai District. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Hello, listener. Nice to meet you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is Constitutional Court to earlier announced the verdict of dispute over the result of the 2019 presidential elections. Through preliminary sessions, the Constitutional Court MK will announce the verdict of the dispute over the results of the 2019 presidential elections. Previously, the hearing of the verdict would be held on Friday, June 28. However, based on the judges' meeting, the session is accelerated one day to Thursday, June 27. Head of Public Relations and Domestic Operations Section of the MK, Fajar Laksono, said that his side has submitted summons for litigants. They are the claimants, presidential candidate number 02 Prabowo Sandi, and then the defendant, the General Election Commission, KPU. Meanwhile, related parties are presidential candidate number 01 Jokowi Ma'ruf and election supervisory body Bawaslu. The Constitutional Court has finished holding a hearing on the result of the presidential election through a trial. The trial has been held 5 times, with the end of reading the claimant's arguments, reading the arguments of the defendant and related parties, examining weaknesses of the claimants and the defendant and related parties. At present, all Indonesian people are waiting for the announcement of the result of the trial. As it is known, the trial process has been carried out openly. The public can also watch the entire trial via television. Based on the open trial, now constitutional judges are holding internal meetings. Therefore, there is no reason for all parties to question the result of the transparent trial process. 2 days ahead is an important waiting period to maintain peace. All parties are expected to maintain the atmosphere. Political elites should not issue propagandistic statements that may cause friction in the public. In addition, the disputing parties should be able to show maturity in politics. Besides, all the public should accept, obey, and carry out whatever the party of the judges later. This period is very important for the future of Indonesian nation in the next 5 years. More importantly, various responses to the verdict will come up. The world community will witness and assess Indonesia as the third largest democratic country in the world, which is able to demonstrate its beautiful democratic life. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in history, I'll begin with June the 25th, 1938, the first Indonesian Language Congress is held. The Indonesian Language Congress was first held in Solo on June the 25th to 27th, 1938. Initially, the Indonesian Language Congress was held to commemorate Youth Pledge Day, which took place in 1928. It turned out that the event was not only commemorating the Youth Pledge, but also discussing language development and Indonesian literature as a whole. I'll switch to June the 25th, 1950. The Korean War begins. On June the 25th, 1950, North Korean forces took the South Korean soldiers and small U.S. forces stationed in the country by surprise and quickly moved towards the capital city of Seoul. The United States responded by pushing for a resolution through the UN Security Council to call for military assistance to South Korea continues. With the issuance of UN Security Council Resolution No. 83, U.S. President Harry S. Truman quickly sent the U.S. Army, Sea, and Air Force. The U.S. Army, Sea, and Air Force to be involved in the Korean War as a police action. I'll end with June the 25th, 2009, world musician Michael Jackson dies. Michael Joseph Jackson was born in Gary, Indiana, USA on August the 29th, 1958. He died in Los Angeles, California on June the 25th, 2009 due to a heart problem at the age of 50. Michael Joseph Jackson is well known as the King of Pop and popularized the moonwalk dance movement that was his trademark. His album, released in 1982, Thriller, is the best-selling album in the world with sales exceeding 104 million copies worldwide. He began his singing career at the age of 5 as a member of the Jackson Family Vocal Group, or commonly called the Jackson 5, before launching his first solo album, Got to Be There, in 1971. He won various awards in his lifetime, including 13 Grammy Awards, and Thriller was recorded as the best-selling album in the world by Guinness Book of World Records.
Well, that was Today in History from Indonesia to the World.
Setiap saat ku harap ada keajaiban dalam dirimu, indahnya masa lalu tergores semaraku, cemburu menguras hati. Kalau kini menyiksa diri, kembalilah kau kekasihku. Jangan putuskan, kau tinggalkan aku. Sekalipun sering ku menyakitimu, tapi hanya kaulah pengisi hatiku.
That was the song entitled Cemburu Menguras Hati, sung by Vidi Aldiano. You still tune to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World on frequency 33 to 5 kHz, and website www.voinews.id. Next, we are going to give you more information on My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program, My Indonesia. Well, the title of today's Indonesia is ASEAN Outlook and Indo-Pacific Agreed at the 34th ASEAN Summit. The ASEAN Outlook on the Indo-Pacific Council was agreed upon at the 34th ASEAN Summit Conference led by Thai Prime Minister General Prayut Chan-o-cha on Saturday 22nd of June. Superpower countries have the potential to influence peace, stability, and efforts to achieve prosperity in the region. Now is the right time for ASEAN leaders to agree on ASEAN outlook on Indo-Pacific, which reflects the unity and centrality of ASEAN in upholding the principle of peace, strengthening the culture, dialogue, and increasing cooperation. As quoted from Kemlu.co, President Joko Widodo in his remarks thanked all ASEAN member countries for their valuable contribution in developing the ASEAN outlook on the Indo-Pacific concept. He viewed that the outlook agreement will become the basis for ASEAN to develop concrete cooperation with various countries in the future. Meanwhile, other ASEAN leaders expressed high appreciation for the initiative and leadership of Indonesia in producing the outlook. ASEAN Outlook on the Indo-Pacific proposes four fields of cooperation. They are in the maritime field, connectivity, sustainable development, and economics. In his speech, President Joko Widodo also emphasized that ASEAN must be strong, united, and able to become a motor of peace and stability. In this connection, he appealed to the need for ASEAN to respond to the prolonged trade war between China and the United States, which has brought about widespread impact in some countries in the region. Economic cooperation with ASEAN partner countries also needs to be strengthened by encouraging the completion of Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership (RCEP) negotiations. To realize the economic integration in the region, ASEAN is urged to minimize non-tariff barriers so that micro, small, and medium enterprises may enjoy more benefit from the region's economic integrity. During the retreat session, President Joko Widodo raised the issue of the development of the situation at Rakhine State. He perceived that ASEAN's joint commitment is needed in overcoming the issue of returning refugees to Rakhine State. In accordance with the result of the ASEAN summit in November 2018, ASEAN has given a mandate to the AHA Center to send and NICS assessment team in a bid to identify areas of cooperation in Rakhine State and to facilitate the process of repatriating refugees. Through the implementation of the preliminary needs assessment, time frames are clearly needed to follow up on these efforts. The security in Rakhine State is a key factor for the implementation of the repatriation process. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Kelemahanku dengan indahnya cinta. ini hayalan atau hanya sisa lamunan bahwa ku telah dapatkan mutiara dalam hatimu sinari setiap langkahku mengajak mimpi yang dulu menjadi nyata akhirnya. Oh, dan kini kau selalu menopang kelemahanku dengan indahnya cinta, indah warnamu, indah senyum. Mungkin aku tak bisa ungkapkan, namun benakku mendengungkan namamu. Tetaplah membagi mutiara hati, tetaplah
Senandung Mutiara sang by Segara. You still tune to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, for the next segment, we will present Indonesian Wonder, which tells about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Listener, in today's edition of Indonesian Wonder, we will introduce you Base and Raga Handicrafts from West Kalimantan Province. On June 14 to 16, the International Nyobeng Dayak Bidayuh 2019 Festival has been conducted at Sembujit Village, Libue, Siding Subdistrict, Bengkayang Regency, West Kalimantan. The International Dayak Bidayuh Festival presented various cultural events such as Nyobeng. Nyobeng is a tradition which is conducted to honor ancestral spirits, inhabitant of mountain and forest. The spirits are considered to give abundant good fortune to protect the community from threats of enemies and diseases. In addition to cultural tradition, the festival also displayed traditional handicrafts of the local people, such as base and raga, which are made from plaited rattan. Base is a big basket made of plaited rattan, while raga is a shopping bag made of small plaited rattan. the plated rotten products are usually bought by visitors as souvenir, especially during the event of International Nyobeng Dayak Bidayuh 2019. The handicrafts can be found around the location of the Nyobeng Festival, precisely at Jagwe Kindau Village, Jagwe Babang Sub-District, Bengkayang, Regency. Jagwe Kindau Village has been determined by the regional government of Bengkayang as a creative village. The Jagwe people are mostly craftsmen of plated rattan. The tradition of making the handicrafts have been conducted from generation to generation, inherited by their ancestors. In addition to base and raga, the local people also make ring and bracelet products. All of the products are made from rattan. The rattan products of Jagwe Kindau Village are very unique. All products are still processed manually by using hands so that the products are made in detail. The price is also affordable, starting from 100,000 to 300,000, depends on kind of the products. DPD for Marketing Development of Tourism Ministry, Rizky Handayani, invites a lot of journalists to visit Jagwe Kindau Village. In the village, the journalists can also learn more the making process of plated rattan handicrafts. Listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder for today.
Masih tertinggal bayanganmu yang telah membekas di relung hatiku. Hujan tanpa henti seolah pertanda cinta tak di sini lagi, kau telah berpaling. Biarkan aku menjaga perasaan ini, oh, menjaga segenap cinta yang telah kau beri. Engkau pergi, aku takkan pergi. Kau menjauh, aku takkan jauh. Sebenarnya diriku masih mengharapkanmu. Andai akhirnya kau tak juga kembali.
You have just listened to the song entitled Menjaga Hati, sung by Yofi and Nuno. For the next segment, we will present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian, Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, we will introduce to you some Indonesian vocabulary and expression, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian. This program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, welcome back to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia that introduces the Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to converse in Indonesian. This Mari Berbahasa Indonesia program is a collaboration of Voice of Indonesia, RRI Overseas Broadcasting Station, and the Language Development and Development Agency of the Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is oleh-oleh, or in English means souvenir or gift. Next, I will give an example of conversation on oleh-oleh, or in English, a souvenir. Tony and Enda were walking on Jalan Malioboro.
Aku ingin beli oleh-oleh untuk ibuku.
Mau beli apa?
Mungkin scarf batik. Apa bahasa Indonesianya scarf?
Selendang.
Selendang?
Bukan selendang, Tony, tapi selendang.
Oh, selendang.
After listening to the conversation, I will introduce phrases and vocabulary related to today's theme, namely oleh-oleh, or in English, souvenir. I will say the words two times and you can repeat after me. Oleh-oleh. Oleh-oleh, which means souvenir. Aku ingin membeli oleh-oleh untuk ibuku. Aku ingin membeli oleh-oleh untuk ibuku, which means I want to buy souvenirs for my mother. Mungkin scarf, which means maybe a scarf. Apa bahasa Indonesianya scarf? Apa bahasa Indonesianya scarf? What is scarf in Indonesian? Selendang, selendang, which means scarf. Bukan selendang, tapi selendang. Bukan selendang, tapi selendang, which means not selendang, but selendang. Laba-laba di dinding, laba-laba di dinding, which means spiders on the wall. Kupu-kupu, which means butterfly. Ubur-ubur, which means jellyfish. Lumba-lumba, which means dolphins. Kakak laki-laki, which means brother or older brother. Semua laki-laki di kantor saya sudah menikah. Semua laki-laki di kantor saya sudah menikah, which means all the men in my office are married. In the dialogue, you heard the word oleh-oleh, which means souvenir. The word oleh-oleh is not a repeated word, but a basic word. In Indonesian, there are a number of such words such as laba-laba, which means spider, kupu-kupu, which means butterfly, ubur-ubur, which means jellyfish, lumba-lumba, which means dolphin, laki-laki, which means man or male. Example of its use. Aku ingin membeli oleh-oleh. Aku ingin membeli oleh-oleh, which means I want to buy some souvenirs. Ada laba-laba di dinding. Ada laba-laba di dinding, which means there are spiders on the wall. Aku punya kakak laki-laki, which means I have an older brother.
to make the plural of the words, add a number in front of it. Example, aku ingin membeli beberapa oleh-oleh. Aku ingin membeli beberapa oleh-oleh, which means I want to buy some souvenirs. Ada banyak laba-laba di dinding. Ada banyak laba-laba di dinding, which means there are lots of spiders on the wall. Semua laki-laki di kantor saya sudah menikah. Semua laki-laki di kantor saya sudah menikah, which means all men in my office are married. Before ending, mari berbahasa Indonesia today. For more details, let's listen to the example of the conversation once more.
Aku ingin beli oleh-oleh untuk ibuku.
Mau beli apa?
Mungkin scarf batik. Apa bahasa Indonesianya scarf?
Selendang.
Selendang?
Bukan selendang, Tommy, tapi selendang.
Oh, selendang.
That was today's edition of Mari Berbahasa Indonesia. Hopefully it can be useful for those of you who want to know Indonesian better. We'll meet again tomorrow with a different topic. Thank you for listening. Sampai berjumpa lagi.
Sepi, kau menemani. Di saat ku sedih, kau menghibur hati. Di saat ku pergi, kau setia menanti. Kau cinta sejati, cinta sejati. Di saat ku gerak, kau memadamkan. Sehingga
That was Yuka Tamada with a song entitled Luar Biasa. You still tune to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world on frequency 33 to 5 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Next, we are going to inform you about Indonesian music.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome back to Music Corner. Today we present a Malayan song to you entitled Asam dan Garam. The Malayan song Asam dan Garam, sung by Hamdan Atamimi or Hamdan Atete, tells about long-distance relationship where a man ensures his lover to be patient in waiting for him from wonder. Love in this song is likened to tamarind and salt, where the mixture of two ingredients can give the taste. The song's lyrics consist of verses of poem. Its music has medium tempo. The song Asam dan Garam included in the album of Dendang Melayu Hamdan Atete, released in 2002. Hamdan Atamimi was born in Maluku on January 27, 1950, and well known as dangdut musician. He is popular as dangdut singer than Malayan singer. Listener, here is the song Asam dan Garam by Hamdan Atete. Enjoy the song.
Harus tidak
Voice of Indonesia.
Wajahmu selalu terbayang dalam setiap angan yang tak pernah bisa hilang walau sekejap. Ingin selalu dekat denganmu, enggan hati berpisah, larut dalam dekapanmu setiap saat. Oh kasih, janganlah pergi, tetaplah kau selalu di sini. Jangan biarkan diriku sendiri larut di dalam sepi, terlelap dalam belayanmu. Takkan pernah ku lepas, biarlah dirimu ku manja dalam pelukan. Gemulai setiap gerakanmu membuatku selalu rindu, ku kecup lembut bibirmu, ku sayang padamu.
Listener, thank you for listening our English program on Voice of Indonesia through shortwave on frequency 3325 kHz. Please give your suggestion and criticism through Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and also send your email to VOI@voinews.id.